Steve, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks very much for joining us on the program. This landing, this new landing of the probe, but why is it so significant for our data on Mars?
Well, the mission's basically designed to look at the geology and dynamics of the interior of the planet, and that should give some clues as to the history of Mars, and maybe even give some clues about some of the possibilities for life on Mars.
I understand the InSight probe is essentially sending a great big drill down beneath it to check out that geological structure you mentioned there, and it will give us more of an understanding of the core of Mars. It may even give us understanding as to how rocky bodies like our own Earth are formed.
Yeah, that experiment is one of three main experiments. So they're going to drill down into the subsurface around about 5 meters. And measure things like the temperature to see the sort of heat flow that may be happening between the core and the surface of Mars. So similar to the Earth, where the core is very hot and the surface is cooler, this will give some information about the temperature of the core and maybe that heat structure from the middle to the surface.
And what is some of the other data it's looking to analyse?
The other two experiments are also to examine the internal structure of Mars. So one of them is a seismograph. So that's an instrument to detect earthquakes or meteorite impacts on the surface of Mars. And so that will give some information about the internal structure in the same way that seismographs on Earth tell us about earthquakes, where they originate, how they propagate through the Earth's structure. And the third experiment is an antenna that transmits a signal back to Earth and can tell us very accurately how the planet is wobbling on its axis. And that tells us something about the dynamics of the interior of the planet. For example, if the core of Mars is molten, like the Earth's core, or solid.
And of course, you did say the magic words there before, Stephen, looking the search for life on Mars, such as it is. What might this data prove or disprove in terms of looking for life on the red planet?
So there's a lot of interest in the prospect of there being water under the surface of Mars. So we know that there's no water on the surface, except maybe in very small pockets and perhaps at the poles. But there's evidence for the past presence of water on the surface of Mars. So the question is, where has that gone? And maybe some of it is still present underneath the surface of Mars. So drilling down into the surface and examining what's under the surface may reveal the presence of water. And if there's water, then there's some possibility that there's life present there as well.
And just how long has it actually been since our last, NASA's last successful Mars landing?
Yeah, I believe it was 2012 was the last successful landing on the surface of Mars. It's a planet that has had a bad history in terms of success of getting probes onto the surface. The Italians in 2016 attempted to get onto the surface of Mars with a mission, and it was a spectacular mess created when the thing plummeted to its death on the surface of Mars and left a bit of a mess on the surface. So for some reason, it's difficult to get stuff to the surface of Mars, so a great achievement to get InSight onto the surface.
I know a lot of the media were making a big thing of this 7 minutes of hell in terms of landing the lander, and that was really just to express the fact during that 7 minutes there's nothing NASA can do, there's nothing the people landing this probe can do, and indeed there's nothing they know about its condition until it actually reaches the end of that 7 minutes and can send back some data. But I've got to imagine with each successful landing, they are learning more about the maths involved. You know, it's going to lead to further successes in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was pretty extraordinary to watch. When it entered the atmosphere, it opened a small parachute, which slowed its descent. And then later on, there were thrusters that kicked in but basically had to be controlled autonomously on the spacecraft in order to get down to the surface. So it was traveling at like 2 kilometers per second or something in the upper atmosphere, and then very quickly after that it had to slow down to the speed that would allow it to touch down. So that's an extraordinary technical achievement to do that. And as you say, during that period there was nothing that the mission control could do. And in fact, it takes signals about 1.5 minutes, I think, to get from Mars to the Earth. So the lander was actually on the surface, ready to go, but they didn't know that for another 1.5 minutes after that fact, just because of the communication travel time. So really extraordinary when you think about it.
And it does bring to mind the words of tech pioneer Elon Musk. He's said in the past, "I'd like to die on Mars, just not on impact." In terms of the future of travel to Mars, what do you think? Are we likely to see human beings set foot on the red planet within our lifetimes?
Yeah, look, I think it's a good question. Personally, I'm not so sure. Just getting InSight to the surface of Mars was a $1 billion mission. So human spaceflight to Mars and all the supporting infrastructure that's required would be an enormous financial undertaking as well as a technical undertaking. I'd like to think that we do that within my lifetime. So in the next, let's say, 40 years, that should be feasible. But there's an incredible amount of work to do to plan that out and to do it, not just successfully, but safely, and presumably you'd want to establish a base that has some persistence. It's a massive undertaking, but within decades, perhaps that could be done.
Extraordinary stuff, and obviously an extraordinary mission, a very exciting mission. Steve, thanks very much. Do appreciate your time.
No problem. Thank you.